Mary, bring her but to glorious thou.
We bring you now The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of the Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2310 East 4th Street in Duluth. Now here's the minister, Dr. Royal F. Shepherd, Jr.
Very often, we hear a person say, I believe in something, there must be something out there, but I can't believe in a personal God. Perhaps you have said something like that yourself. You have said it to yourself or to someone else. Let's be honest, I have said it too. It is a common saying, I believe in something, but I can't believe in a personal God. In a few moments, I'll speak more fully to that saying. Welcome again to The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of Pilgrim Congregational Church. I'm Dr. Royal Shepherd, and our choir is under the direction of Ray Baker. Perhaps we should begin this morning with a moment of prayer. This is the time, O God, that you have given us to live in your presence. This is the moment that we have grasped to remember your claim upon us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word moves from moment to moment, and will not let us slip away. This is the time, O God, when we come to face the truth about the evil in us and in our world. We seek the assurance of your word of grace that we still will be loved and challenged despite what has gone before. This is the time, O God, when we look for direction for the days ahead. For when the direction drops out of living, so does the joy. We look for your word designed for exiles and pilgrims on earth. This is the time, O God, when we come to lift up our hearts in adoration, for in this is life fulfilled. We wait for the splendor of your word come to life among us. We come to behold in a glass darkly, that we may sometime see you face to face. This time will not come again, O God. Let us then make the most of it. Amen. And as our scripture reading today, I have taken some verses from the 8th chapter of Romans. They are verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Do you have trouble believing in a personal God? Well, then you're part of a very large company. As we begin today, I want to say one thing that I believe I said in my sermon about doubt. I don't think it's particularly helpful for us to spend a lot of time worrying about whether or not our ideas of God are inadequate. The important thing is to begin with such ideas as we do possess. I have sometimes said that God is that which appears, that which happens, when the spirit of reverence comes into our lives. Now that's not quite adequate for me, but it's a place to start. When it comes to thinking of God in personal ways, of course I haven't got the time in a few minutes this morning to deal with that whole question in very great detail, but I'd like to try to cope with some common mistakes, I think, that we make when we try to approach that question. It's obvious, of course, that there are some meanings to the expression personal God that very few of us would wish to defend. The expression the man upstairs may be used with sincere reverence by some plain folk, but it's a rather crude way of talking, and sometimes I think a rather frivolous one, rather far removed, I think, from anything that you might find in the Bible. And yet it is probably true to say that most of us still keep rather childish images of God locked away somewhere within our minds. Despite the shocking announcement by the first Russian astronauts that they couldn't find hide or hair of him, we still tend to think of God as a sort of a old man up in the sky with a long white beard. And as J.B. Phillips observes, this old fellow in the sky is something of an old fogey who can't quite keep up with the times. Phillips remarked in one of his books that he once asked a group of young people whether they thought God understood radar. Immediately, they all answered no. Then they laughed and they had second thoughts. But Phillips concludes, "The snap answer showed me what I suspected, that at the back of their minds there was an idea of God as an old gentleman who lived in the past and was rather bewildered by modern progress." Well, we do preserve these childish images. Often we fail to grow beyond them. Moreover, we sometimes assume that these images reflect some sort of official version of God that is taught in the churches. As children, we fell into the habit of thinking of God as a giant policeman who works for Daddy, or as a cosmic bellhop at the beck and call of the minister. As adults, we not only keep these images alive, but we assume that they fit in with what the church wants us to believe. So then, one mistake we sometimes commit is to confuse our own childish understanding of what personal God means with a mature Christian understanding. We are right in rejecting such ways of thinking and in feeling that we must look for something better. But we're wrong, I think, in believing that these childish caricatures of Christian belief truly represent the outlook of our churches. There are two other mistakes that we commonly make when we toss out the idea of a personal God without due reflection. One mistake is our failure to realize that when we avoid talking about God in personal terms, we nearly always end up talking about God in subpersonal terms. No matter how we speak of God, we are bound to speak in terms of some sort of a model taken from the world in which we live. We may suspect quite rightly that certain models are based too simply on human nature, too anthropomorphic, as we say, which means in the form of humanity. And so we start talking of God as a force or as an impersonal power, in which case it appears we are using some sort of electrical model. Or we may speak of God as a creative drive present in nature, having at the back of our minds a biological model. Perhaps these subpersonal models are helpful in freeing us from ways of thinking of God that are too narrowly human. But if we fail to see any, I fail to see anything intrinsically superior in them. On the contrary, insofar as they draw on the subpersonal aspects of our experience, I find them rather inferior. Perhaps some people find the impersonal life force of certain nature gods more sophisticated than the God of righteousness and love whom we meet in the Bible, but I fail to see why. My own conviction is that God transcends, which is to say, reaches beyond what we know as personal. The great teachers of the church have always been at one with the great people of prayer in believing that God is suprapersonal, that is to say, above the personal. But we really, you know, cannot speak of that. We have no models for that which rises above all else in our experience. The best that we can do is to speak of God in terms of the most sublime reaches of our own spiritual life. So then, I think we need to ask ourselves whether the subpersonal models that we tend to substitute for the personal ones are really so superior. The third mistake we commonly make is the mistake of inconsistency. Even though we reject the notion of a personal God, we go on talking about God in personal terms anyway. Now, I find that this is something which not only ordinary mortals do, but even the cleverest philosophers. But if we really mean business about tending to or getting rid of a personal God, then we ought to be consistent enough to stop describing God in the language of personal relationships. For example, if we do not wish to speak of God as personal, then we ought not to speak of God as loving. For love is something that only persons do. Oh, somebody's going to write it and say that animals do it too. Yes, in a rudimentary way. But essentially, it's a personal thing. Now, I'm sure that God's love far transcends the kind of love that we know in human relationships. But to speak of God as love or as loving, and yet to deny that God is in any way personal, I find to be a contradiction in terms. The same problem arises if we think of God in terms of purpose. I suppose that we might sum up the common ground of many religions by saying that they all embrace a sense of sovereign purpose. People feel that there is at work in their world something which strives to make sense of their lives and of all creation. But once again, purpose is really a personal quality. If we want to think of God as somehow purposeful, then I think we must admit that we are still using that personal model. The same contradictions appear when we think of God in terms of wisdom or compassion or justice. It really isn't playing the game fair to go on talking that way and yet to declare that we shall have nothing to do with the idea of a personal God. So then, as we think about this problem, let us try to avoid these three pitfalls. First, let's not confuse our own childish pictures of God with the personal God that comes to us through the best in our Judeo-Christian heritage. Second, let's show some caution in accepting impersonal, or as I prefer to say, subpersonal models as automatically superior to personal ones. Third, let's recognize that if we believe God to be the kind of God who relates to us in love, in justice, in righteousness, in purpose, in truth, it's going to be rather hard to get rid of that personal model altogether. Well, so much for our common confusions. Speaking in a more positive vein, my feeling is that there is an ineradicable personal element in the idea of God that comes to us through the Bible and our Christian heritage. I don't think you can remove that element and still remain Christian. You can take out an awful lot of other things, I think. But if you take out the love of God, the justice, the compassion, the grace, the quality of personal freedom that Jesus called spirit, then I think you've tossed out the baby with the bathwater. Whoever God may be, God is not a thing, not an it, not an object at our disposal. God comes to us as thou, as one for whom we must use the personal models, even though they can't do him justice. Thank God that he gives us his own personal model in the man whom called him Abba, Father. For in Jesus Christ, we have a personal expression of what God is like. And for Christians, this has always been the best model for that unfathomable mystery, which is the divine. And not only that, but in Jesus' own personal relationship with God, the personal element is always uppermost. It was he, you see, who taught us to pray, Abba, Father. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with us, with our spirit, that we are children of God.
The Lord is our refuge, our song, our song. The Lord is our refuge, the Lord is our song, our refuge and song.
Refuge, the Lord is our song, so therefore we fear.
I hope that you will join us again next Sunday for the Living of These Days. This is the weekly radio service of Pilgrim Congregational Church of Duluth. Our regular worship at the church is held at 10 o'clock each Sunday morning and is followed by an adult discussion program at 11. And now may we join together for our closing prayer. We thank Thee, Lord, for many things, for the pattern of the silver treetops against the clouds in winter, for the splash of children's voices at play in the twilight, for the poet's gift of saying with precision what others vaguely feel, for the sound of music and the sight of colorful design, for the symmetry of numbers, for the tools and machines that enlarge our participation in the world and relieve our need, for thine own ineffable splendor, and no less for the near at hand simplicity of thy love. We seek from thee that peace which is not retreat, but rather strength, not a hiding, but a confident meeting with the world's demands, not a dead calm, but the quietness that gives birth to power. We pray for all among us who are in any special need, for those who mourn and those who fear, for those who have lost sight of thee, for those who barely think to look for thee. We pray that thou wilt find us all, and having found us, enlist us always in thy kingdom and its righteousness. We pray for our country and its leaders, and for all who labor to promote justice and to keep the peace. We pray for the downtrodden and the oppressed, the millions who are hungry and shelterless, and for all thy suffering children who stand in need. And yes, we pray for our own needs too, for our Lord has bade us do that, and so we come to your throne of grace without fear or apology to say, we have needs too, and we look to thee to help. All this we ask in the name of him who is our master, our leader, our friend, and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
God of gracious and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power. Crown thy ancient church's story, bring her but to glorious power. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. For the facing of this hour.
You have been listening to The Living of These Days, the weekly radio service of the Pilgrim Congregational Church, with Dr. Royal F. Shepherd, Jr., Minister. For copies of today's sermon or comments on this program, please contact the Pilgrim Congregational Church, 2310 East 4th Street in Duluth, 55812. And please join us next week at this same time for The Living of These Days.